Oh, we're live? What's up, guys? I haven't got a notification yet, but apparently we are live. You know what that means? That means technical difficulties from Will and Amala Live, where we are testing out a lot of different things.
Always.
So,
no cold open for you guys today. Welcome to the show. This is the wonders of moving to a new set in a new space. But we always try to get it going for you guys. Only a few minutes late today. So thank you guys for joining Will and Amala Live. Let's get into our stories today, or at least coverage of what we are going to be talking about. Today we're going to be talking about Elon Musk versus Elizabeth Warren and Joy-Ann Reid's take on that in particular. We're going to be going into a tearful mother talking about the indoctrination that her child was put through in a California school in regard to transgenderism. Also, we have plenty of COVID news. We're talking vaccine passports, vax mandates, the NIH director coming out with a COVID-related song, plus people protesting in New York City only to be arrested for standing up against the mandates. And it's Throwback Thursday, which means Will's taking the reins and going through some history with us today. What's the segment going to be on? You'll find out at the end of the show, so stick around for whatever stories are most important for you. And if you love Will and I, stick around for everything. First, let's get into the drama between Elon Musk and Elizabeth Warren. Just to give you some background before we get into Joy Reid's comments on this particular happening, on this particular drama back and forth, Elizabeth Warren put out a tweet, and the tweet reads as such: "Let's change the rigged tax codes so the person of the year, who is Elon Musk, will actually pay taxes and stop freeloading off of everyone else." Elon Musk caught wind of Elizabeth Warren's tweet adding him, and he responded by saying, "And if you opened your eyes for 2 seconds, you would realize that I will pay more taxes than any American in history this year." He also responded by saying, "Don't spend it all at once. Oh, wait, you already did." Now, there was some other tweets that he put towards Elizabeth Warren, just completely roasting her. At this point, Elon Musk is an entrepreneur. He is, you know, on the frontier of American innovation, and he's also a Twitter troll and online influencer, which is awesome. But Joy-Ann Reid caught wind of what Elon Musk had to say towards Elizabeth Warren, a specific tweet where he called her Senator Karen. And Joy-Ann Reid did not like that comment. Here's what Joy-Ann had to say on her show, The Readout.
Elon wasn't happy, so he did what he always did and stomped his little feet and insulted Senator Warren, calling her an angry mom and referring to her as Senator Karen. So for so many reasons, being a freeloader and a selfish and disrespectful one, and for misappropriating black vernacular for misogynistic purposes, Elon Musk is the absolute worst. Meanwhile, Senator Warren has better things to do than fight with Junior Birdman on Twitter. And Elon wasn't happy, so he did what he always...
So that's what Joy-Ann Reid had to say about Elon, called him a freeloader, the absolute worst, and said that he was a selfish billionaire that wouldn't give up his money.
I'm very thankful for people like Joy Reid.
Are you?
Yes.
How so?
Because please, they give all sorts of people free airtime and let them live rent-free in their heads. And she's a joy to listen to. Joy-Ann Reid is a joy to listen to because of how disgusting the things she says are and how terrible they are and how just blatantly false everything she says is. It's great to have her around to prove our messages right.
I want to go back to what she said about the tweet and play this again for you guys, just so you hear exactly what she says.
"And for misappropriating black vernacular for misogynistic purposes, Elon Musk is the absolute worst." Meanwhile, Senator Warren has...
"For misappropriating black vernacular for misogynistic purposes."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, take a shot every time Joy-Ann Reid says a leftist buzzword.
Right. Oh my gosh, there were so many. Misappropriating black vernacular, mm-hmm, and misogynistic. So that's 4 shots. You're already blacked out by the end of that one sentence.
Black vernacular now. what is the black thing that Elon Musk used? Saying Karen?
He called Elizabeth Warren Senator Karen. According to Joy-Ann Reid, Karen is black vernacular. It's a black colloquialism. So him using that in a misogynistic manner, which is not misogynistic, to call out Elizabeth Warren was cultural appropriation.
Well, first of all, Elon Musk is from Africa.
That's
so he can
true.
Say these kinds of
he
things.
He is literally
okay?
an African American.
He's literally the richest African American in the world. It's a big deal. Secondly, nothing about that has you have any sort of grip over that language. To say that only one person has the right to use certain words is foolish,
right,
in and of itself.
It is foolish across all lines, and you guys can take that with whatever words you see fit.
Wait,
your imagination.
By that logic, wouldn't anyone who uses the word woke be using cultural appropriation as well? Because it
that
originated
is
in the black community?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Is that true? Did it originate in the black? If it did, yes. That would be cultural appropriation. So it doesn't matter. It only matters if it doesn't serve the proper agenda.
That's true.
It only matters. It only matters then. If a white person went and called some conservative woman a Karen, Joanne Reed would hop on her show the next day and clap it and play the clip and talk about how brave this white ally is. But no, when another white person, African-American, maybe I should say, uses the word Karen to promote an agenda that is anti a woke leftist, then Joy Reed had something to say about it.
I mean, it's just anti-whiteness.
Yep.
That's what it comes down to.
It really is.
That Elon Musk is white and Joanne Reed is black, so she feels like she gets to dictate the words that people get to use.
Yep.
Do not let these people control your language. When you let them control your language, then you let them control how you act and how you're able to move about in society. Don't let them say that you can't say certain words or that certain words are off limits for you to be able to say. Because once that happens, yeah, it might work for something like, you know, you shouldn't say the N-word. Of course, no one should say the N-word. But it gets to a point where then they say, well, now you can't say the word Karen, or you can't say this word on your social media because then we'll ban you, or any of these kinds of things. You give them an inch and they take a mile.
Yeah.
Talk about this all the time. If you give them and say, okay, we won't say these words because we're not allowed to, well, then they'll say, well, you can't say these certain things either.
Mm-hmm.
40% of young people, of millennials, say that if you say something offensive about another race, that you shouldn't be allowed to say it.
Right.
Or you should be fined for saying it. All right, this is from Pew Research, that you shouldn't be allowed to say it. How crazy is that? People think that because you get to control the words, that somehow that makes you better than other people because you have silenced other people. There's no sort of magistrate in that. It's only intellectual pseudonym.
Yeah, look at the road we go down when you start making that argument. There's plenty of words that were created by white people or black people, blah, blah, blah. And the words that you're using right now, Joanne Reed, are probably misappropriated if we're going by your standards. And the attacks on Elon Musk are just completely unfounded. What'd she call him? She called him a selfish. She called him sexist or misogynistic in this case. She called him a freeloader. Excuse me, what? Elon Musk came to America with no money, went to school, worked his way through college, was $100,000 in debt, ended up creating SpaceX and Tesla and everything that he's created through his own mind and his own endeavors. And to call him a freeloader when he's going to pay more taxes than any American in American history, that's how much taxes he's going to pay this coming year. Also, he gives millions and millions of dollars to charity. He just gave $50 million for St. Jude's Hospital and $100 million, I think, year before. It's just crazy.
Yeah, I don't agree with everything Elon Musk is doing, as we talked about on the show.
Yes.
He has deep ties to CCP. The people who are working with his AI systems are not the best people, in my opinion. He basically wants to get rid of people in stores and have them be all automated by robots. So there's a lot that I don't agree with Elon Musk on. But when it comes to Twitter and the way that he acts on there, he is someone who I admire for having that sort of capability to be so brazen with these people. People think that just because you're a politician with a verified account that you can say things and are in no way open to any sort of criticism, that, oh my goodness, if you come and you criticize a sitting politician, you're threatening an insurrection.
Mm-hmm.
This is a threat to our very democracy for saying something bad about a politician. Mm-hmm. And it's like, they say that because the left does it all the time. The left comes on and plays Smash Mouth. All they want to do is say horrible things about conservatives. Maybe the politicians don't always say horrible things about conservatives, but the mainstream media, the legacy media, is the arm of the Democrat Party. And so they will come and they will say all these horrible things. The media does the politicians' jobs for them. So then when we have normal people or conservative politicians come and say these things and say, hey, you can't do that, this is wrong, you're a liar, or, you know, something else that is worse about this person, then they say, oh, you can't say that, you're so racist, or you're horrible, or this is a threat to our democracy. Don't believe any of it. Any of these things that people tell you, that you're not allowed to say something again, you're not allowed to say something, or, you know, it's some sort of modicum of respect that you need to have for these people. These people are liars. These people are liars, and they are destroying this country. Criticize the people in charge. Tell them what is wrong with them. And if you don't even want to go out there and criticize them, vote them out as the next election.
Yeah, I heard nothing but lies and just baseless claims that entire segment. So, yeah, Joanne Reed, we all know that she's not a great presenter. We know she's not necessarily a great person. Her ratings show as much with her TV show. But it's just, they need to be called out on, and they need to be held accountable for the lies that they spew.
They do.
Which is
and
why
no
we
one
try.
Will do it. No right. one will do it. And then they say you're an evil person for holding people accountable.
Yep.
That's how they trick you.
Mm-hmm.
They want to make you into a soft, wet blanket.
Mm-hmm.
Do not be a soft, wet blanket. Be a hard, rigid blanket.
Yeah.
Just That's be great. Hard in your convictions, okay? Be strong about it. Don't let these people walk all over you.
Yeah.
Letting people walk all over us is how conservatives have gotten into the place that we're in. I want to walk with all of the strong conservatives around the world.
Yep. And just free thinkers, people who don't accept this wokeism. It's just ridiculous. Now, here is a mother who is standing strong in her convictions. This is a video that I think everybody should see. Just to give you some context here, two teachers at a California school had a 12-year-old, a child of this mother in their classroom. The child expressed a transgender identity, or at least gender confusion, and it was hidden from this parent. Not only did the child express issues and concerns about being transgender, but also express mental health concerns and contemplation of suicide. All of this went behind the back of this mother. They did not alert her to the crisis that her kid was going through. They also changed the child's name and pronouns without telling this mother in school. Here's the video of her coming to a meeting and talking to these teachers and school board members about what happened to her.
Let these teachers come in and act as if they have nothing wrong. They've done nothing wrong. A mistake? How long of a mistake? How many mistakes are we going to take before my child almost lost her life? They didn't tell me that my child was suicidal. You allowed these teachers to open their classrooms teaching predatorial information to a young child. A mindful child that doesn't even know how to comprehend it all. How do you not know what was going on your own campuses? Did you think that no parent would ever come forward? You will not quiet me today. I will stand here today and protect my child along with every other child who has not come forward yet. Do they have psychiatry degrees that I was unaware of? Because I didn't hire them, okay? I did not hire them to sit there and nitpick my child's brain. You took away my ability to parent my child, even before I had any knowledge. I didn't even get to show support. You asked for support, I didn't get a chance. You planted seeds, Ms. Caldera and Ms. Baraki, Mr. Baraki and you, Ms. Pagarin. Your job was to educate my child in math, science, English, etc. Do your job and let me do mine. They assumed that my child needed your aid and resources. They pushed it in the face. And tonight, I will stick up for her. Ms. Caldera, you're guilty. Ms. Baraki, you're guilty. You changed her personal documentation, her gender, her name, her email. I authorized an AKA added to her attendance because I wanted to be supportive. But guess what? She's allergic to bees. Her medical record says a birth name, and you changed it. Who administers that now? Not everything, not me. You guys did this on your own accountability and you've gone too far. They downgraded me in front of my child and allowed me to question myself as a mother. You sat there and told me how my child was gonna be. And then you wrapped your hands around her while I sat across the table and cried because you thought you could be there better than I, and I never got a chance. She was scared to even say anything. Your guys' voice were heard, not hers.
I didn't even want to interrupt her. Just let her say what she has to say, and you can tell that they were not cutting off her mic for whatever allotted time you were supposed to have to speak at this. Unacceptable. Every person who knew about this, involved with this, helped this child, if we even want to call it help, should be fired immediately.
It's definitely not help.
Yeah,
it's definitely not help. It's the opposite of help, is what the mother is definitely saying. Yes, no, of course they should. And not just fired, I mean criminal charges. You need criminal charges of child abuse against all of these people for what they did.
It's just... I think I look at the situation, I look at what this mother is saying and her coming up and just sobbing about what has happened to her child. Think about what would have happened if she did not know that these teachers were doing this. Her child was expressing suicidal ideation. Her child could have come home to a dead child because these teachers did not alert her to what was happening at this school. And in fact, not only did they not alert her, they changed her child's name on the school records, they changed her child's pronouns on the school records, and completely affirmed this child without having one conversation with the mother.
Yeah, I mean, then it's like, it's not even your child anymore.
Mm-mm.
This video makes me want to squeal like a little girl with how crazy this stuff is. I mean, it's absolutely terrible what they do to these people. This is what wokeness gets you. Wokeness gets you totally destroyed lives.
Yep.
But when you say that leftism destroys people... Leftism destroys people's lives. Leftism destroys civilizations. This is all the proof that you need. This type of video. Okay? This doesn't happen in a normal country.
Mm-mm.
Our country is screwed up by leftists and the ideology and the people who are pushing this through. The people who don't care about children, who don't care about mothers, who only care about their own agenda.
Yeah.
If they cared, they would never do this. None of these people care.
This poor mother.
Evil people.
Poor mother. And what is good
poor
is to
child.
Hear. Poor mother, poor child, poor everybody in this situation, except for those teachers who should be fired immediately. If this did not result in those teachers being fired, it's just unacceptable. And it goes to show what public education looks like in America right now, because there are plenty of teachers who would look at this situation and do exactly what they did and hide this pertinent and extremely important information from the people who need it most, and that is the parents in this situation. And I'm happy to see all the parents in the crowd clap and cheer for this woman, because that means that they express the same sentiments. But the fact that this was able to happen in this public school in California, so probably not far from where Will and I are sitting right now, unacceptable.
Abolish the public schools. This is what is happening there. Do not send your children there, ever. Do not. Abolish them.
Yeah, this is why you need cameras in classrooms.
You do need cameras in classrooms.
Because now you are leaving your kid with some person for 7 to 8 hours a day, and you have absolutely no idea what structural changes this person is making to your child's life. Life or death decisions teachers are able to make because there is no accountability, and parents aren't able to see what they're doing in these classrooms anymore.
The teachers don't want the parents to know. Again, we talked about this with that TikToker the other day. This is how insecure these people are about their ideologies, because mm-hmm. if they felt confident in the things they were doing, they would go and talk to the parents. When a kid gets in trouble at school, or the kid is doing something disgusting or bad or whatever it is, the parents or the teacher will always go and talk to the parents. They will want to have a meeting with the parents to discuss the future of this child.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't talk to the parents when it comes to something like this, because they know that the parents won't affirm this, because they know that it is ludicrous and crazy and wild.
Yep.
And in no way centered in reality. I mean, this is often wacko land, these types of things, and it is killing people. It is killing people, it is destroying people's lives, destroying families, and destroying Western society. These types of things. This is what leftism has wrought. This is what leftism has got you. If there are any of you leftists who are watching this right now who agree with this, I urge you to please get off this stream and go think about your life. Because what this is a disgusting act of people. Truly. It is terrible.
And it's only because it's transgender ideology that we treat it this way, or that these teachers treat it so differently. If this was something to be considered a regular mental health issue, like this student came to them and said, you know what, I struggle with major depressive disorder, I'm feeling extremely depressed and I feel like killing myself, the teacher's next step would have been to immediately call the mother and say, hi, your daughter came to me today and expressed this to me. Are you doing things at home? Is she seeking therapy? Is she seeking treatment for this? But because it represents this gender theory that we feel like we need to cocoon these children in. Like she said, she came to the meeting with these teachers. And instead of having the mother sit with her child and put her arm around a child to talk to the teachers about what happened, the teachers came and cocooned this child and said, oh, well, we're her advocates in this case. No, you're not. That parent is the advocate. It's just the amount of usurping of power that teachers are comfortable from taking, and this is bad teachers, I'm sure there are plenty of good teachers out there, but these horrible teachers are comfortable with taking away from parents is extremely concerning.
Send them to jail. Send them to jail. Yeah. What else do you do? These types
Definitely
of ideas need to be eradicated and destroyed. This is not a difference of opinion. This is not, let's be around people who have differences of opinion than us so we can have a cohesive society where everyone's views can be expressed. No, these types of ideas need to be destroyed. You should not be allowed to do this to children. It is child abuse, and you are destroying people's lives.
Yeah, these teachers should at the very least be fired. We might have different disagreements on what the repercussions should be, but 100% fired. 100% immediately. No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
If you don't prosecute people for these types of things, then they will continue to happen. People need to know there are consequences for these types of actions.
It depends to me on what the prosecution actually looks like. I would have to actually sit and think about what prosecution for something like this looks like. That's my take on it. But it's definitely a horrible, disgusting, abusive thing to do to a child. 100%. And to be a parent and have enough composure to sit there and write a letter and get up there and speak it, kudos to this woman for having enough composure to come and do that. Because I don't know what I would do if I found out this is happening to my kid. Don't know.
No, I mean, it's hard to know what I would do.
Yeah.
To not be violent or do something irrational because of something like this done to my child.
Yeah. I definitely wouldn't have as much poise as that woman did. My goodness. Anyways, guys, so those are our two COVID non-related stories. Now we're going to get into the bulk of what people are talking about today, and it is quite COVID related. We'll start off with a little, is this lighthearted? I don't know that it's lighthearted. Here is the NIH director who is in, I believe, the process of retiring. He did announce that he was in the process of retiring earlier this year, although there haven't been many updates in regard to that. But here is the NIH director. This might be his last swan song before he steps down, and it is a literal song. Let's hear it.
Somewhere past the pandemic, when we're free, there's a life I remember full of activity. Somewhere past the pandemic, masks will come off. No more need for a nose swab every time we cough.
Wow. I'm glad he's been able to integrate his passion for repressing people and tyrannizing people with his passion for playing guitar and singing.
No, he's... Listen, you can say what you want about the guy. He's got talent. Okay?
That's true.
You know what he's got talent in? And what all the people at the NIH have talent in? Francis Collins, you included?
Please say.
They have a talent for lying.
Yep.
All these people have a talent for lying. This guy wants to come on. He's trying to say, I mean, this is why he's coming on. He's trying to save face by doing this type of thing. He wants to come on and say, hey, you know, I'm resigning from my position as head of the National Institute of Health because no one should have power for that long. You know, I'm doing it because I'm a good guy and I just want to come out and give up my power.
Right.
He's coming off of power because he got found out and the rest of the NIH because they lied under oath to representative from Kentucky. And also Fauci lying about this too, about funding gain of function research in Wuhan. That is why he is resigning his position. He's not doing it for the betterment of the people. He's not writing songs like this to make it so that this will go away and we can all be good. He's getting out of his position because he got caught. He got caught red-handed. All of these people did. And Fauci still is saying, you know, no, we're not. We didn't fund any gain of function research, even though the NIH has come out and said, yes, we actually did. And they lied about it. So this is why he's doing this. And it's propaganda at the worst. It's propaganda at its worst.
It really is. We need to rewrite Somewhere Over the Rainbow to tell the truth about what they're doing.
Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Somewhere out there in Wuhan, we're doing testing too, to check the gain of function for the Wu flu.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Wow.
That's what the song should have been.
I should have had the clapping audio ready. I'm sorry.
Oh. I mean, this guy is disgraced. This guy is disgraced.
Really?
The fact that he gets to go and do this is like unbelievable.
Yeah. What's funny to me is that this utopian place that he's singing about is like every red state that has been over the pandemic for the last year plus. Like, go to Florida, Nashville,
yep.
Oklahoma, any red state, people are not living. People in the comments right now are like, "What pandemic?" And the fact that he's sitting there singing, like,
yeah.
One day in the future, it's crazy.
One day everything's going to be back to normal just as it's soon normal. As I or one of my monkeys says that it is.
If it wasn't for him, this wouldn't be happening.
Yep.
Like, if it wasn't for these people funding the research, this yep. would not be happening. This is not a conspiracy theorist. These people admitted to it.
Right.
But it's happening because of them, and then they want to come and sing songs about it and get propped up on national TV in these press conferences. That's the type of country that we live in.
Yep.
That's the type of world that we live in, where you can lie blatantly and get to go and play songs.
Yep.
And on national TV.
Yeah. That's the state.
I mean, what channel was that? That was like PBS or something.
Right.
it's
like their
yeah.
live press state conferences TV. That they do. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, HHS.gov if you guys want to go and check out the rest of the song. There's plenty of more fun lyrics.
It's really not that fun.
Who needs Netflix when you've got HHS.gov?
Right, exactly. Right.
MTV? Who?
Who needs it? When I've got this 73-year-old man, or however old he is, remixing Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
I was waiting for the next Bachelor episode to come out, but now right. I got this site to go
but
to.
But now I've got Francis
American
Collins.
Idol. Who?
But it's not just the United States. Here's a story here out of the UK. UK orders masks indoors, vaccine passports as the Omicron variant spreads. So our good friend, Prime Minister Boris Johnson, is rolling out new regulations for those who live in the UK. He's now saying that they're going to run with mask mandates as well as vaccination passports. Did we warn about this?
Well, you can't call him our good friend because Boris Johnson is not our good friend whatsoever because Boris Johnson has done this.
No.
Happened today, this was 2 days ago when they voted on this, okay? Boris Johnson made all of these promises and said, you know, we're not going to do any vax passports in our places and all this kind of stuff and saying nothing's going to happen. There was a report that came out of Parliament just about 2 weeks ago where they said, hey, we don't need to do any vax passports because they have been proven not to work. There have also been people all over mainstream media on BBC and other places in the UK that have said the Omicron variant is no need for panic and we don't need to do this. This was like 2 weeks ago at the beginning of December. Now it's happened. They just had a vote and over 100 Tories dissented. The Tories are the Conservative Party in UK Parliament. Dissented away from Boris Johnson, but he, just like he's done before, has used the Labour Party, the Liberal Party, to get his way. Boris Johnson is not someone who represents conservative values. Boris Johnson is someone with the oligarchy. And what's crazy about this is that, just like Amala said, or I don't know if you said this, but I think you said it, that this is like a slap in the face to all the people who live in the UK, because just 2 weeks ago, this was the exact opposite of what they were saying. They were literally saying. And what did Boris Johnson do during the time and all these other people in the UK Parliament? What were they doing the entire time while they were in lockdown? They had parties.
Partying,
they were
baby.
Having parties. They had seven parties. Okay, count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They had seven parties and said, oh, the rest of you guys have to stay home, but we're going to go out and party. And then they lie about all of the restrictions that they want and say this is not going to happen. And then they do it anyway.
Yeah.
So all of these people in the UK, it's really a slap in the face to all of you guys who live there. It really is, because they said they weren't going to do it. They admitted that there is no probable reason to do it and that the Omicron variant is mild. And now you have all these people coming out and saying it's horrible. It's horrible. We're going to have so many cases. And now you can mix it with the Delta variant and it's crazy. And now we need to have vax passports in the UK. It's a terrible thing. It truly is a terrible thing. And yeah, we'll see how their elections go.
But not for me. And it's honestly, it doesn't look all that different from what it's like living out here in Los Angeles. Essentially, what they've said is if you want to go to a club or a crowded event or a large sports thing or whatever, you have to have proof of vaccination or a negative COVID test. Yeah. Doesn't look very different from LA whatsoever. Anytime you walk up to a restaurant or a bar in LA, they go, give me your vaccination pass or proof of negative COVID.
Right.
So
It's also travel. But what's the crazy part is that there are no, like, all these people who are coming out and saying, you know, we need to now do the vax passports and everything like that in the UK. There are no studies, that show that Omicron is more deadly than any of the other ones.
None.
They didn't present any studies within their hearings at UK Parliament. They didn't present any of that. It's all just hearsay.
Yep.
It's all just people coming out and saying, this is what we want to do, and we're going to do it no matter what people actually say. Again, you had 101, I believe, conservative Tories who dissented, but for the most part, this was a sweeping across the board. And these people, they don't care about you. They don't care about you. They are willing to lie to get their way. And then once they lie, they break their own policies that they put into place.
And this is the beauty of the crisis as it couples with COVID and how, you know, governments will never make waste of a crisis. They will always utilize it to gain more power and privilege over you. And the fun part about COVID is that it's not just one crisis. It's multiple, because every time there's a new variant, they get to use that too. And they get to use it to push mandates and regulations on you. And everybody and their mother and their brother and their sister and their cousin should be against vaccine mandates. I don't care if you're vaccinated or you're not. You should be against it. You should not be able to force people to do what you want to their body. It's unacceptable. And again, the UK is doing it. It's looking a lot like LA. New York is doing the same thing. It is disgusting. And the fact that this disease of pushing what you believe to be right on other people is spreading so much across the world should be concerning for everybody of every walk of life. Now, in the United States, we're seeing a fight against this, particularly in New York. And what it's hitting hardest is restaurants. We've seen now two stories, one out of Applebee's and Cheesecake Factories in New York, where people are coming and sitting in and saying, no, I'm not going to show you a vax passport. Serve me in this restaurant. Don't place a barrier to entry that involves medical tyranny and what I can and cannot do with my body. I want to show you this particular video out of an Applebee's in Queens, New York, of people coming in and saying, no, we are going to go against your mandates. We are not going to follow this. Here's the video.
Oh, not easy. Oh, yeah, of course you're not trying to hurt me. You're just a harassing me, you're gonna try to hurt me. You know what's my job in the school system? Get work, get eat, and I can't stand for myself right here. And this is what you guys do to the company.
Fresh,
even though I want to eat like a free American that I am, and you guys are harassing me over this fucking bullshit.
This is unbelievable. Unbelievable.
You guys, what happened to the Constitution? What happened to free speech?
No. Yeah, what did happen? What did happen? And then they go on, if you guys want to see, to shout,
no more mandates.
No more mandates. And essentially what's happening is these people are going in and staging these protests at these restaurants, and then they're being arrested for trespassing. And what's, I think, so harrowing about that video in particular is that woman in the beginning shouting at them, saying, I lost my job in the school district for not being vaccinated, and now I can't go somewhere to eat. Now I have to show a vax passport to just live my normal life. And she said, what happened to the promise that I was made as being a free American? That's what she said. Being a free American, what happened to that? What happened to the Constitution? These are all valid questions and yet get no answers.
21 U.S. Code 360 BBB-3, Section 3 of that, Section E. You have the right to refuse these medical devices. Okay? I say it all the time. I said it yesterday on the show. The amount of people who messaged me afterwards and were like, can you repeat that for me? Please, go look it up. Okay? These are medical emergency use devices, the masks and these passports. 21 U.S. Code 360 BBB-3. Okay?
Again,
these charges, these people getting arrested right now, they are not going to stick. They cannot stick in any sort of court of law of these people being in there unlawfully so, unless they were making a huge disturbance and doing something like that. But even if you are doing something, in a sense, like, this is maybe something for Taylor too, because Taylor, I know you're very biblical, but in the Bible it tells you that if people are put into authority and that you are supposed to abide by that authority of the people who are put in place, right?
Yeah, you respect the governing authorities. Yeah.
But it comes to a point where when you have people who have been put into authority who are going against biblical rules and also even just morality and are doing evil things, I think that you basically, you have a right to go against the things that they are saying. I mean, even if people say, oh, it's illegal for you to go into this place, I mean, how are you going to elicit a change within your society? I'm not telling people to go on riot or anything, but you got to be strong about these kind of things. And you have to say enough is enough.
Yeah, and that's what these people are doing. And we had gotten into a conversation about, like, how effective are these protests? Are they a big deal? And I think, yes, they are a big deal. And what I liken it to, and I can already hear the people calling it hyperbolic in the comments and calling it an exaggeration, it's really not. It's distinctly the same thing, just in a varying degree. Look at the civil rights movement in the 1960s, where we had restaurants and businesses place a barrier to entry, and that barrier to entry was what your skin color was. And we had people who were, you know, arbiters of social justice, if we want to, I don't even know if I want to use that term anymore because of what it's morphed into, but social justice and civil rights go, no, I am going to come into this restaurant, I am going to sit down, and your barrier to entry is BS, and I'm calling it out, and I'm going to fight it. That's exactly what these people are doing, only the barrier to entry is this medical apartheid that people are trying to put in place in America, and they're going, no, I am going to enter this restaurant, I am going to sit down, and if you arrest me, you arrest me, but at least I'm calling attention to the civil rights violations that you are putting forth right now. It's exactly what they're doing, and they are brave for doing it. So it's the people in New York who are going to these restaurants and sitting in them and refusing to leave, barring being arrested. Good for you. Continue to do it. Continue to fight. This is what people have to do to get the message across. And if we don't stand up and do it in brave ways like these people are, being arrested is not fun, and it can be extremely scary. But to say, you know, I'm going to do this is a massive thing to do.
You're exactly right, Alma. You said it perfectly. You have to be that type of person who's not afraid of those types of consequences, even if it is scary.
Yep.
And I think that, actually, I take that back. You can be afraid of the consequences, mm-hmm. but just because you are fearful of what might happen does not mean that you don't do it, right?
Yep.
You still have to do it, even if you are afraid, even if you feel like there is not much hope out there. You still have to be that person to push through and continually do it. And people want to say this is hyperbolic. Again, look at Austria, okay? Look at what the rest of Europe is doing. Austria, mandatory vaccinations by February 1st. You will be fined. If you can't pay the fines, mm-hmm. they will take your private property. Then you could be sent to jail. You cannot appeal it unless you want to have your charges go up 6 times the amount of cost. It is just, it's unbelievable.
Yep.
It is truly unbelievable.
And what are they doing in Austria? They are marching in the streets. It's exactly what we should be doing all across the United States, or at least in any place that is choosing to go forth with these ridiculous mandates and regulations. Take to the streets. But it's funny because the regulations don't stick in the way that you would expect them to. Here's a story out of NPR.org. California allows San Francisco to maintain existing COVID-19 masking rules, which right now in San Francisco, if you're fully vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask indoors or in businesses. But California just recently set up a mask mandate for the entire state, saying regardless of vaccination status, you are mandated to put a mask on your face when entering indoor restaurants, businesses, sporting events, large crowded events. But apparently that's not going to stick in San Francisco.
Well, it's because they cut their mayor out partying and clubbing.
Yeah.
Without a mask on.
Doesn't look right, does it?
No, it does not look right. So they're basically trying to cover this lady's butt. And make it so that they can do whatever they want. San Francisco is lawlessness. I mean, we talked about this yesterday on the show. It truly is a lawless place. It's the Wild West, but all the cowboys are trans. Mm-hmm. And they're shooting each other with heroin needles and not revolvers.
Right, right. But yeah, so your mask mandate is so important for the entire state of California to save lives. But the lives in San Francisco are protected. So that's fine. The people in San Francisco don't have to do it, but everybody else in California does, because it's going to save lives.
These people are clinging on the ropes right now.
Yep.
These people.
Yeah.
They know that
they are
all about to be done. I mean, I think they're trying to cling on to the last semblance of hope that these people have of retaining any sort of power, but I think they understand that people have had enough of their diktats and their horrible measures.
Yeah, and hopefully this is going to create tangible change in our lives. Here's our last COVID-related story. I'm sorry to inundate you guys with so many of these stories, but they're important.
We have to. People want to say, don't talk about it. This is so important.
It is
this
so
is the
important.
Fight of our time.
Right.
Truly is.
This is truly what is separating us and dividing us more than anything. And it's an issue that needs to be addressed and talked about so that people are educated enough to defend themselves and defend their rights. So, last story here. Two major airline CEOs are now questioning the effectiveness of mask mandates on planes. So is this going to create, like I said, tangible effects on the way that we travel here in the United States? These are the CEO of Southwest Airlines and of American Airlines. Here's the quote from the CEO of Southwest, Gary Kelly. I think the case is very strong that masks don't add much, if anything, in the air cabin environment. It is very safe and very high quality compared to any other indoor setting. They've been stated to say that masks don't add much to the safety of flying amid the pandemic. So is this going to create change?
I'm looking into it now. I wanted to make sure I got the right airline because I was pretty sure that it was American Airlines.
Mm-hmm.
American Airlines kicked a family with a 2-year-old off of a flight for not wearing their masks on the flight. Okay? Because let me read the headline here. I'm just trying to, I don't want to misspeak. American Airlines said it kicked a family with a 2-year-old off a flight in part over not wearing masks properly. The 2-year-old could not keep a mask on. And so they kicked him off the flight. It's a 2-year-old. You expect it to keep a mask on with these face shields on? Of course it's not going to keep a mask on. So I think this is a little too late for these CEOs to come out and say this. To say, oh, actually the masks don't work that well. Why didn't you say they didn't work that well when this 2-year-old got kicked off your airline for not wearing his mask?
Yep.
Like, these people are understanding. This is what I'm saying. These people are trying to cling on to any sort of last hope because they know that their BS is getting found out. They know that we can smell it. It is everywhere. The BS is everywhere and we can all smell it. And so because of that, they're trying to now come on and say, well, actually, they don't really work that well. We've known this forever. We've known that the masks don't work that well forever. We know that airlines are already cycling 98% of their air. They're incredibly clean places to be with recycled air.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need the mask on planes. You can take the mask off to eat and like, that's fine.
Yep.
You're not social distancing. All of these things were so stupid. They were stupid off the jump. And now they want to come and say, well, now they don't work. Screw you.
Yeah.
Well, you could have done this a year ago. The science was there a year ago, but no, you were too busy kicking children off of planes because they didn't wear their mask.
Yeah.
So,
they realize that people, even the people who agree with them, are phasing out of this lifestyle, are phasing out of the choices that they've made. You hear it with the people, like Bill Maher did a segment, I'm over it. You told me what I needed to do. I did what I needed to do, and my life has not changed because I did what you told me to do. And, you're seeing it with New York Times putting out there in their front page editorial piece that the COVID crisis, we need to move on. We need to start reintegrating into our daily lives. The Atlantic just put out an article saying that now this is a pandemic of the vaccinated, a completely different tune to what we would have heard a month ago, 2 months ago, a year ago, a year and a half ago.
That's because 80% of the people who got Omicron in the States were vaccinated or even boosted. 80% of people in the United States who got Omicron.
Yep. They can't just hold up the lie anymore.
You can't. Your house of cards is coming crumbling down. There is nothing left for you to hold on to. So you either double down with the lies and the BS, or you say, all right, we're understanding and we have to try and, you know, backpedal a little bit. But it's too late. It's too late. You have laid out your hand. You have shown us what you really believe. You've shown us how you have really acted. It's too late for you to come back now and say sorry. I don't accept your apology. Because it's too late. And the things that you have ruined, the amount of lives that you've ruined psychologically, physically, job loss, inflation, our country's economy is a catastrophe.
Suicide rates, domestic violence, anything you can name, gang violence, drug abuse, prostitution, obesity, everything.
Your apology is too late. It's too late.
It's the exact same thing as the story we covered yesterday in San Francisco. The mayor all of a sudden is changing her tune on crime because she's seeing the objective reality of the policies that she's created are creating utter chaos in her cities and shambles. And now it's all of a sudden, I'm the hero for sweeping in and restoring order. And it's like, no, you created this crisis this entire time. And the exact same thing with all the people who've been pushing down these COVID regulations for 2 years. It's like, do not let them get away with this.
Yeah. Right.
It's like Dostoevsky's The Idiot. I don't know if you read that one, Taylor. But it's like in the book.
Yeah, I read The Idiot.
It's a story of my life. But no, in the book, it's like, it's this guy, he's called like The Idiot because all these people continually hurt him and do bad things to him, but he continually over and over again forgives them for all the things that they do. And people call him an idiot for essentially being forgiven, always
forgiving
people.
It's the whole definition
of
insanity thing.
Right.
Know, doing the same thing over and over again, expect a different result. Like allowing the same people to lie to you and then continue to make policy and continue to vote them in and continue to allow them to occupy positions of power. It's like, what do you, at some point, it's not even their fault anymore. It's yours for continuing to enable them.
Yeah, how anybody can sit here and how any leftist can sit here and go like, well, I don't know why things aren't turning out for me after this. Blows my mind.
I know. Well, the places, no, I mean, California, I mean, even New Jersey. I mean, New Jersey had, they have a million more Democrats than they do Republicans. And they almost voted Paul Murphy, I believe is the governor's name, out before. So it's like even these places where people are waking up and realizing these things are understanding that things are bad. Things are really bad. But it's really turning around.
What's nuts to me, though, is here in California, criminals are breaking into people's homes and shooting 80-year-old grandmothers. And I guarantee you the people in that neighborhood will still vote the same way. Majority.
They will. They will. They will. There's really, truly no doubt in my mind. And you can still go out and meet all these young people who are so enslaved by their ideology that they cannot see how badly it is failing them. You can see a leftist girl walk down the street and see three homeless people and one of them spits on her shoes. And then she walks and talks about how she can't wait to vote for the next leftist who runs for office. Blows my mind.
Solzhenitsyn writes about this in Gulag Archipelago. He talks about how people that were party loyalists in communists in the USSR were being dragged off to prison and still professing their sincere loyalty to the party, and even in prison still saying the party had it right. I still believe in all the ideology. I still believe in a communism and the utopia of the Mother Russia. While they're rotting away in prison, and they just think, oh, surely there's some misunderstanding for why I'm here, but like the party's got it all together. And I feel like that's the level of delusion that the people who continue to perpetuate the tyranny that we're seeing in our society now is happening. It's literally the same thing.
For many people, the firing squad could be right in front of them, and they'll close their eyes and they'll say, well, what are your last words? And they'll be like, we just didn't do it right this time. It's so crazy.
It really is.
Oh my gosh. But guys, we are constantly calling this out, questioning the ideology, reading all these stories with a healthy amount of skepticism and trying to arm you guys with the facts to go out and defend yourselves when you have these conversations with your family and friends. If you want to support us in our endeavors to do that, this week we are triple matching all of the donations that you guys make. So if you donate $5, it becomes $15, $10 becomes $30, $25 becomes $75. So guys, if you'd like to donate to us, go to prageru.com/donate. Here's the webpage for you. Very simple, very straightforward. You can give a custom donation, or a preset donation, and every dollar that you give to us supports the work and the content that we put together. We employ a lot of people who work day in and day out to get you guys informed, to make great content for you, for your parents, for your children now with PragerU Kids, and we want to continue to do that to the best of our abilities, and we need to do it on a mass scale to fight the wokeism as it grows.
Mm-hmm.
So please.
But not for your uncles.
But not for your uncles. No. Sorry.
We're growing we're growing your donations faster than inflation is growing. So
exactly. No, it's gonna outpace it.
Right.
It's a big deal.
So please support us by going to PragerU.com/donate. Now I'm gonna kick it over to Will because it's his Throwback Thursday.
I have it up on here. I'll tell you to click the slide.
Great.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely.
Slide. Just kidding.
Okay. So Throwback Thursday is a segment that we'd like to do on the show every single Thursday, mm-hmm. if you could guess that. And we basically, it's one of our turns every single week, and we go over a historical figure, event, time period, something like that, and, mm-hmm. and talk about, you know, what it means. And so it's my turn today. And so I chose Marcus Aurelius. It was emperor of Rome from 161 to 180 AD. And I put a side note here. Every real man loves Rome. Okay? This is a big deal.
Okay.
Okay? I don't mean to say that lightly. Rome is awesome. And men, if you're a man and you don't love ancient Rome, mm-hmm. something's wrong with you.
Okay.
It's just something that men should love. Okay?
What about women?
Women can like it too. Mm. But, you know, old Romans.
Okay, we got to say what you're eating because I showed you on camera chowing down on
some disgusting thing.
Oh,
it's genuinely making me sick.
They're little gummy globes, guys. It's a globe. It's a gummy in the shape of a globe.
This is what happens when you let a 14-year-old have a show.
Exactly. Exactly.
Anyway, sorry, Will.
Continue.
Marcus Aurelius is awesome.
Okay, slide.
It was really aggressive.
Okay. So, Marcus Aurelius, he was the last good emperor of Rome before civil war broke out, and he ruled over the golden age of Rome, the Pax Romana, which was essentially the long Roman peace. Trajan was one of the other emperors during this, who was my favorite emperor, but I felt like he was a little too niche, so I wanted to talk about Marcus Aurelius, who most people have heard before. If you haven't heard him before, maybe you've heard some of the aphorisms and things that he said or read any of his book, Meditations. He was a Stoic philosopher. One of the first really, you know, Stoic philosophers, and one of the great emperors who was, you know, more than just an emperor. You know, I think history tells good of Marcus Aurelius that he actually wanted to do good things for his people, which we talked about this. Well, this was for a different show, but we mm-hmm. talked about, you know, are politicians corrupt or are they not?
Mm-hmm.
I think Marcus Aurelius was one of the good guys. Okay. I think that he was one of the good Roman emperors. Ancient Rome is awesome. Men should love ancient Rome.
Deja
Just putting
vu.
That out there again.
Yeah.
All right. Next slide. Hurry
wait,
up.
Wait, Will, are you wearing the outfit today because you're teaching on Throwback Thursday?
Yeah.
Is this
Why
your
so
professor?
Dolled up?
I am here to profess about ancient Rome, and I hope that you are listening.
You look like a history professor today.
No, I am a history professor today.
Okay.
I'm actually keynoting the LA Republicans dinner tonight, like their yearly gala event. I'm speaking at that tonight, so.
Right.
I got dressed up for that. So
anytime Will's dressed up, just know he's speaking somewhere because
yeah.
otherwise,
otherwise
shorts
I'm in
flip flops.
Board shorts and flip flops. Exactly. So like a Roman.
Right.
You know, like flip flops and a toga.
Yes. Just like a Roman.
All right. So I thought it would be fun if we went over a couple of some things that he said.
Okay.
And we could discuss them and
Love
see
it.
What you guys thought. I chose some that were some of my favorites.
Okay.
And we can talk about them. Okay. So first, everything we hear is an opinion, not a fact. Everything we see is a perspective. Not the truth.
I think that's a big statement. I'm gonna say no. I think if everything was switched to most of, like most of what we hear is opinion, not fact, and most of what we see is perspective, not truth, I would agree. But there are certainly things that are objectively fact rather than opinion.
Like what?
Like there is one Santa hat on this table. That is totally a fact. That is not an opinion. And
how do you know that that is one?
I don't know, because we created the metric for one.
Well, we created the metric, but does that mean that it is true?
Yes, but I don't know that that constitutes an opinion of something being one, a widely accepted, objective metric yeah. for something. But
it's an epistemological conversation.
Right. There's nuance
it's not,
to it.
It's not, yeah, it's not. I mean, I guess right. it's not nuance. These conversations have been happening for a long time.
Well, yeah, but you can add nuance to these conversations.
Right.
But yeah, I certainly, again, if the phrase was most of what we hear is opinion, not facts, 100%.
I think he's right. I think that it is practically impossible. Even the things that, you know, we talk all the time, we're like, we're fighting for truth, we're fighting for the true things. We're mm-hmm. fighting for the things that we believe to be true, that we think are true.
Yes.
But it is impossible, I think, in a lot of ways for man to know absolute truth.
Certainly. I think there's plenty, especially when it comes to ideology and values and morals, it is impossible to find an absolute or objective truth in that. I guess my metric for having a fact is when you can apply objectivity, that does become fact. But I think, yeah, if we're truly basing this off philosophy, morals, and values, 100%, everything we hear is opinion and not a fact. Yeah. What about you, Taylor? T-Dog?
I think objective truth exists, mm-hmm. and I think this statement is like useful for a thinking person who wants to look at the world. I mean, be more thoughtful about the world that we live in, and not just take for granted that everything that you do see and hear is factual. And it helps you look below the surface. But beyond that, I think going down this line of logic, a line of thinking, is what leads you to like a postmodern view of the world where nothing means anything. And it's very difficult for you to have firm footing philosophically or existentially on which to stand if nothing can be certain and nothing. And you need...
It's an interesting point.
Yeah, you need your feet to hit the bottom somewhere, and you need to be able to build a constructive life, a constructive family, a constructive society. And you can't do that if there is no meaning and there is no truth.
I don't think he's saying that there is no objective truth, because I didn't get that out of this.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there is objective truth.
Everything is an opinion.
Right, because people are saying them.
Oh, everything people say.
Well, it says everything we hear, you know, so you are hearing it from someone else. You are seeing it somewhere. It has been written down somewhere. I mean, it is something that, you know, this person is not God. So everything you hear is an opinion because it is administered by someone else.
If I hear someone saying a math problem... Or if I hear someone reading God's words, I could say those are not opinions.
You could. Yeah, I don't know.
It's an interesting thing about. It really is interesting. And I think
it's about what we know.
Yeah, if you approach life with this in mind, and with this as a preface to what you do, life is going to be more fulfilling to you, and you will be able to take down what some would call blinders in the way that you think, which is super important for everybody, regardless of where you lie. Yeah.
All right, next one.
Next one.
It is not death that a man should fear, but he should fear never beginning to live.
Completely agree.
That sounds like William Wallace. Every man dies, but not every man truly lives.
Yeah. I mean, think about life right now with this COVID crisis and how your governments and a large part of the population is telling you to lock yourself down and stay in your house and not do anything. And if you do, you better be vaccinated before. It's like, what you do this out of a fear of death. That is your motivator here. That is most people's motivator when it comes to this quote unquote crisis, is a fear of death. But what life are you preserving? No life.
Mediocre life.
Yeah, you're preserving nothing. What does it matter that you didn't die if your life is mediocre and lame?
Amor fati. Yeah. A love of life. That is what you should strive for.
Yeah.
Not a net around your life.
Right.
To hold you.
So I completely agree with this. Completely agree.
I do too. All right, last one. Whenever you are about to find fault with someone, ask yourself the following question. What fault of mine most nearly resembles the one I am about to criticize?
Absolutely agree. 100%. We are quick as individuals to jump down other people's throats and criticize them and call out their fault without ever thinking about ourselves and thinking about where we fall short.
It is very easy to judge other people and not have to judge yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the easiest thing in the world to do.
Yep.
You can look at the faults and the flaws of other people and say that is just so horrible that other people are doing, and then you make the same flaws, but you don't judge yourself as harshly for it. You don't judge yourself at all. You say, it's fine because I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But other people, they can't do that. You know, that's immoral. That's wrong.
Yeah.
You have to be fair with the assertions that we make with people and judge-wise.
And it again goes to having those blinders. Everybody has blinders. I have them, Will has them, Taylor has them, and it will lead you to jump to conclusions and say and do things before you've truly thought them through or assessed what your motivation is for doing that. So before you go and judge anybody, assess why you're doing that and why you feel the need to, and then go from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they deserve it.
Sometimes they do. No, there's, and this is not to say that judgment is unwarranted. A lot of people deserve judgment, but just give a full assessment of why you feel the need to do that before you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've never judged anyone.
Oh, yeah. I bet.
Never. This show
we spend
is
our
just...
whole show judging people.
Yes. Yes, I know. That was the joke.
Yes, I get it. Is that your final?
That was it, yeah.
Quote?
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
It's pretty good.
I liked it.
I thought it would
good.
Lead to interesting conversation
and
about philosophical ideas that we don't always get to talk about.
It did lead to very interesting conversation.
I'm very fond of ancient Rome.
Yeah.
Ancient Rome is like my favorite, so.
It's amazing just like the thoughts and the quotes that stand the test of time and just are still so relevant and will always be relevant just because it's just like.
It's almost like they point to an objective truth in some sense.
It's almost like they point to a fact.
Even what he said is not objective truth.
No. Even this is subjective.
But to think back to that story that we covered earlier of the parent giving the speech up to the people who are indoctrinating their kid with gender ideology,
mm-hmm.
that stuff is not going to stand the test of time, that ideology that they're pushing on yep. children, because it doesn't work in the real world. The outcomes that it leads to are horrible, depression, suicidal,
mm-hmm.
and because it's a broken worldview that isn't rooted on objective truth and objective reality. And so it's not sustainable. Whereas we're still talking about Marcus Aurelius' ideas because he was much closer than the gender ideology of today are yep. to what is objective truth.
Absolutely.
Right.
Anyway,
what a
my
brilliant
little soapbox.
Yeah, it's a brilliant way to tie up the show for today. Taylor, Will, good job on Throwback Thursday.
Thanks.
Yeah,
you're welcome. Who wants to see more Roman history next in 2 weeks?
Yeah, put it down in the comments below if you want to see more Roman history in 2 weeks when Will is back for his Throwback Thursday.
We can talk about Commodus next.
Yeah.
Which people think, whatever.
Oh, yeah, that was Marcus Aurelius' son who suffocated him, right?
Yeah, exactly. Are you not entertained?
Marcus Aurelius chose Maximus over as his successor, but Commodus uh-huh. stepped in and didn't let it happen.
That's exactly how history happens.
Not happening.
It's
100%
exactly right.
History.
Beautiful.
That movie's so good.
I'm Levy. You seen Gladiator? So
no, it's on Netflix, and I keep like clicking it to almost watch it, and then I go, "This seems like a lot for me to take in right now," and then I don't watch it.
It's an incredible piece of art.
I bet it is.
Gladiator.
I bet it is. Everybody keeps talking about it, so I feel inclined to watch it. I'm just never in the mood every time I come across it.
Gotta be in the mood for blood.
Gotta be. Guys, thank you so much for watching the show today. We are streaming every weekday at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. Please like and subscribe. Leave us a comment down below. What was your favorite story about today? What are you angry about? And are you protesting? Are you going to go and call out your local school board or sit in at a restaurant or call out the COVID regulations that are being pushed on you in your state? Or are you in a happy and free state and you don't have to worry about it? Comment down below. Let us know how your lives are going. Click the notification bell to be notified every single day when we go live. And if you'd like to listen to us, go to Google Play, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star review on those platforms so that everybody knows you love the show. We know that you love the show, and we will be back tomorrow for Fun Friday, 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern.